to welcome everyone here this morning. I felt like I had just enough time to dabble in enough to get myself more scattered than collected for this Bible study. But I picked a subject that I'd been thinking about off and on for the last little while. It's not one of the things that I had spent a lot of time studying. It was one of the things that I wanted to. So I decided to try quick when I got notice that I was to have Bible study. I'd like to look at the conscience a little this morning. A few questions I was thinking of. What exactly is the conscience? What should you do when your conscience condemns you? How should you calibrate or adjust your conscience? How should you relate to fellow Christians when your consciences disagree? And how should you relate to people in other cultures or other backgrounds when your consciences disagree? And I spent probably more time on what the conscience is. I thought I'd get further. I later wished I'd have spent a little more time on some of the later ones. So we'll start in, I guess, with what is conscience. And I'd appreciate all the help I can get this morning. See if we can. I did pick out a number of verses that speak to the conscience. I'd like to at least read over a bunch of them. But the conscience is an interesting thing. It's almost even surprising that we would care about what the conscience says. At least if you think of it kind of from the angle of it's somewhat yourself judging yourself. And if you'd think of a judge who had done something wrong, who decided to take up his case in court, he would be his defendant, his judge, and, you know, it wouldn't work. If he would read the charges and then go to the witness stand to defend himself and back up to the judge's bench to pronounce himself not guilty. You know, that's just a joke. It doesn't work. But God has somehow put that conscience in humans, that it is a big thing. There's been people who've killed themselves because of what's on their conscience or gone crazy. A couple verses that I thought of a little down that line was in Romans. Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 say, For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. And then Romans 2, 14 and 16, if you just put that in with it. For when Gentiles, who do not have the law by nature, do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or excuse them on that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. So these two passages together give the idea that we have, or humans have, this sense that what's going on in our conscience is secret. But there's also that sense that there is a God who will someday judge us for what we've done. So I have a little list of things on what is conscience. I'd be glad if anyone else has any ideas, any suggestions on what conscience is. Does anyone right off have anything that they, any way that they would think of to describe what a conscience is? Or we could get into what it does. It kind of overlaps. Hey, George.
I believe that it is an inner voice or an inner guide that God has given us, like you mentioned, given to every person. The New Testament talks quite a bit about the conscience, and I'm sure we'll look at those verses, but I believe, like you said, it has made people do many things, and that's why it's so important that we have our consciences trained according to God's way and not some of our own foolish ideas or whatever. I think that's where we're going to get into trouble if we're going to just simply make a statement like, let your conscience be your guide. That's not a complete statement, I don't think. If our conscience has been trained wrong, we might follow that, but we're not going to end up at the right place. So just because God has given us a conscience doesn't mean that that thing will always be giving us the right dictates.
Right, thank you. And that sort of opens up where I could ask another question of when is it right to go against our conscience? Or is it ever right? George sort of already touched that. Does anyone else have any? Think of any Bible verses that would speak to that.
From heaven to tell him to do that, and that reshaped his conscience. Maybe that's wrong, but that's the way I see it.
Yeah, I think that's right. That's a good example. I think that would have definitely been against Peter's conscience to go to the house of the Gentile to eat with them and yet to preach to them. So in that case, we could say it was God speaking to him in the vision that made the adjustment to his conscience, his convictions. So conscience is a human capacity, just like speech. It is possible that some would never achieve this capacity, or through some accident or disease, would lose it. But it's a human capacity. All humans have the capacity. It's something that animals don't have. Conscience, I believe, reflects the moral aspect of God's image, where Genesis speaks that God created mankind as his own image. Conscience is a gift from God. It's for our good and for our joy. It's guilt that we feel when we do wrong is designed to lead us to turn from wrong, to turn to Jesus. And it's also a gift of God for our joy. Romans 14, the last part of verse 22 says, "Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves." So a clear conscience is a gift from God that can bring us joy. But conscience tends to be or wants to be an on-off switch, not a dimmer. It, as Romans 2:15 says, it leads our thoughts to either accuse or excuse. It wants to pronounce guilt or innocence. So because of this, because it wants to make such black and white judgments, that makes it that much more important that we align our personal conscience standards with what God considers right and wrong. Another principle is that your conscience is for you and you only. Under that I put MYOC, mind your own conscience. You can damage your conscience. I think it kind of boils down to two main principles. Principle number one, I think, is God is the only Lord of conscience. And principle number two is you should always obey your conscience. That second one is, of course, subject to needing to be calibrated right. So one question I think I was hoping we could have some discussion on would be, what should you do when your conscience condemns you? And another one that I would like if we could discuss at some point too would be how to relate to fellow Christians when your consciences disagree. So if anyone has thoughts on that at any time, if we could get some discussion going on those, I think if you have a thought on it, just raise your hand and we'll get the mic to you. And in the meantime, or Jonathan.
When you say, what should you do if your conscience condemns you, I'm assuming you mean when you know that it shouldn't, or you know that it's, according to the Bible, it's not wrong, but your conscience still condemns you, or what?
I guess that could be taken from a few angles, but anything to make discussion suits me.
God cleanses the conscience through repentance and faith, and so if there's sin involved and God uses the conscience to convict, then
There's a cleansing process coming to the cross, and now if the conscience condemns when you kind of know in your head that really this is not wrong, but I still don't feel good about doing it, Romans 14 says, happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. In verse 22, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. One thought I would have is maybe for a period of time it's good to refrain from something and then become familiar with the truth about it and let that truth, give that truth time to retrain your conscience. But I don't think it's good to just plunge ahead just because I think it might be okay and then end up feeling guilty about it. So there's a process, and just to make it very practical here, there was a time, sometimes it doesn't seem like so long ago, where I had a conscience against driving a vehicle. And every time I want to fill this vehicle up with gas, my conscience would bother me. And there was a process. I mean, you might think that's strange or weird. For me, it was very real. And so there's a process that I had to go through and sorting this through in my mind before I could feel free to do that. And so it's those are very real things. I don't think we should be, I think we should have compassion on those that are working their way through it and not be condescending in our attitude towards people who we might think are wrestling with weird things. Because the conscience is very precious, and a clear conscience is very important. And so, but I think time and just becoming very familiar with God's word and the truth and letting that change and retrain our conscience into God's will.
Okay, thank you. Any other thoughts, anything to add to that? Okay, I think you brought out some good points there. The fact of going against our conscience, the scripture you read there was, it spoke of going against your conscience being sin, even though the thing itself wasn't sin. So there's that. I think you brought that out well, that time that sometimes takes to get your conscience to recalibrate to truth. I have a number of verses here. That I would like to read just to see what they say about conscience. Some of them speak to what the conscience is. Some of them speak more to what the conscience does. These ones that I picked out are all from the New Testament. There's some Old Testament principles, or it kind of speaks of conscience, but it doesn't, most translations don't use that word. So the verses that I picked out are just New Testament ones. Acts 23, verse 1, Paul was speaking. It says, and looking intently at the council, Paul said, brothers, I have lived my life before God in all good conscience up to this day. So what word describes conscience in that verse. It's speaking of the conscience positively there. It speaks of it being good conscience. Then Acts 24:16, that's the next chapter. Paul still speaking, so I always take pains to have a clear conscience towards both God and man. So that again is clear conscience. The next one is from Romans 2:15. And if someone can just pick out and get some descriptions of conscience in this verse, and even just say it, I think we can probably hear. Romans 2:15 says, "They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or excuse them." There's kind of two descriptions of conscience in there. They both have more to do with what the conscience does in this verse. Wayne?
This would be a verse where the conscience would be acting like a judge. It seems that's what it's acting as a judge, I guess.
That's right. It bears witness, and it accuses or excuses. It leads you to either defend or accuse yourself based on how your conscience bears witness. Romans 9:1 is the next one. Paul says, "I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit." So that one's a lot like that last one. It's a conscience bearing witness. It's again confirming his actions to him. Romans 13:5. Says, "Therefore one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience." They're speaking about authorities, governments. So it's it gives a couple reasons there. The one reason is for the sake of our conscience, is the reason we obey. Not only to avoid the punishment we'd get for disobeying. Just go fairly fast over a few of these. 1 Corinthians 8:7 says, "However, not all possess this knowledge, but some through former association with idols eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled." So that speaks of a weak conscience being defiled. The next one, same chapter, verse 10, "For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged if his conscience is weak to eat food offered to idols?" So they're saying, if someone who has the knowledge is seen eating in the idol's temple. The person with a weak conscience could be strengthened, emboldened to go against his conscience. And there is an interesting principle there that we already touched on a bit, but it seems to be speaking that even as long as a conscience doesn't go against God's word, which in this case it isn't, there'd be nothing wrong with never eating that. And this person with a weak conscience feels it would be wrong, so it's wrong for that person to do it. So does anyone have any thoughts on that one? A question that came to my mind is, what makes it wrong for that person to do that? And kind of along with that, the next verse 12 in that same chapter, again, 1 Corinthians 8, brings in a little different angle. It says, thus sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience, when it is weak, you sin against Christ. So there's the aspect of a person sinning by going against their own conscience. There is a certain aspect of sinning against someone else who has a weak conscience. And how that all comes together in you wouldn't get far through life if you were constantly trying to make sure you never did anything that would offend someone else's conscience. So how do you... That section in 1 Corinthians 8 makes some interesting points on conscience and how to relate. Does anyone have any thoughts on that?
Probably would have been a bit difficult for Jonathan's conscience if all the people he was interacting with just would have stopped driving, and he would have had to, he probably would have reconsidered pretty fast. So it says in verse 7, chapter 8, howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. And that's where it's hinged on, I think. If we could abstain, if our brother is, if his conscience gets wounded or if he has to override it, it might be a minute or it might be a day or a month, but the fact would be that the person that is burdened would need to gain that knowledge that it's okay.
Yeah, I think that's good. Thank you. So that's getting right in. George?
I guess just thinking about that and the thoughts that are given there about this, I don't know if we would all agree that it would be very important that our consciences are actually trained to God's word and not just running off on a limb somewhere with all kinds of funny ideas that I say that this is my conscience and I can try to push people around with that. And I don't think that we can do that. We have to be standing on God's word and then teaching our conscience according to that. Like was mentioned, that we train our conscience according to that and not... I think probably lots of people have gone all over the place trying to somehow claim that they're fulfilling these verses when I don't necessarily think that that's actually what Paul was trying to say here.
Okay, thank you. So is it important that we would try to get our conscience to I don't know how to word my question here. I'm going to start over on that. Our consciences are shaped by a lot of things. It's our upbringing and life for each one of us. It shapes our conscience. So people are going to have consciences that don't agree. Is it important that people would come to the place where their consciences would be pretty much the same? Could we get the mic to Wayne?
I'm not sure. But as long as the church is ongoing, there should always be new believers coming. And so I don't really think that the church will ever be in a place where the consciences are all the same. Whether or not that's what we should be striving for, maybe those are two different things. But to expect that to be a reality in a church, I think, is unrealistic.
Right. Yeah, I think that's good. So to what extent should consciences agree? How much differences is good, healthy, acceptable? What should that look like? Or is there not really an answer to that?
I could be wrong on this, but I kind of view individual conscience as kind of the personal equivalent of a constitution. We've got a lot of different congregations throughout Southern Ontario here, and most of them have a slightly different constitution for themselves, the individual congregation. I believe many of them are truly Christians, but they all have a slight variation in their constitution, which is their code of ethics on how they act. And ours also. And a conscience, I see, is kind of the personal equivalent of that. Therefore, variation is okay. As long as it all falls under the umbrella of being parallel to Scripture and under the authority of Scripture.
Right, I think that's a good answer. So people will have conscience on things that go beyond Scripture, and that's good and fine, as long as they don't try to enforce that on others. John? Up front here, Jonathan.
Philippians 2, verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. I don't think the church should ever be satisfied until every conscience is conformed to God's word, and then in the process of all of that, there needs to be patience and forbearance and loving each other with conflicting conscience in Romans 14 kind of situations. Where
okay, Okay, thank you. Probably the most difficult differences are when two consciences both, or two people both feel that their conscience is based on Scripture because they're reading it somewhat different. I saw an illustration of conscience. I could try to draw it here. That I thought was kind of interesting. So it had a triangle and so that represents one person's conscience and that would be someone else. And truth or God's word might be here. So both these people would agree on fair bit of stuff right here that would also be God's truth. They might have a number of differences. I don't think I'd... drew that one quite the same, but it still somewhat gives the idea that, you know, there might still be other things outside of what either one of these people believe that is still God's truth. There might be some things that one of these people feels important that is, also some things that they feel is important that isn't. And it just needs to... The things that God sees as important are the things where each of those need to change their opinions on. If their conscience doesn't bother them about something that God's word says it should, that's where they need to change. If they, you know, just some examples, just like the one person might feel they, you know, can't go to movies, and another one would feel like they could. And one person would think it's important to buy free trade coffee beans, and the other person doesn't think so. Some of those things aren't. Some people feel quite strongly on issues that aren't necessarily Scripture, so it's fine if they should live by those things. If they feel it's important. But the most important thing is to make sure that the things that God sees as important, we also do. Thanks for your attention.